So as I said, we were talking about this in the Sunday school last week. So Oliver and May might know part of what I'm going to say this morning. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard the picture of Christ in the cities of refuge. We're going to go through that. There's also portions of the cities of refuge where it is not a perfect picture of Christ, and all that does is actually show us the even more wonderful mercy and grace that God has for His people. And we're going to go through that too. So when this was given to the Israelites through Moses, it was meant to be a literal direction for them. Obviously, it was also meant to be something that we could eventually learn from as well. But this was literal back then. This is exactly how they actually ran their lives. They set up these cities of refuge throughout the country, spread out evenly, easy to get to, easy access. Three over here, three over there. Matter of fact, he said in other parts of the Bible, talks about how first there's three, and then as they grew, they added three more. Just making sure that they were easy to get to. And then if someone accidentally killed someone, they had a place to go. If you think about the way things were back then, it certainly wasn't set up like what we're used to, where someone is innocent until proven guilty. You can't just go to the police and be protected. You couldn't. They needed an option if something like this happened. So God gave it to them. So this had a literal need for the people of Israel. If something like that happened, where you accidentally killed somebody, you had a place to go where you were guaranteed to be safe. Because the rule back then is if you accidentally killed someone, the person, closest family member or kin to the person that was killed, had every right to find you and kill you. Again, a little different than things are now. But that person wouldn't even have been looked down upon if they found you and took your life because you took one of theirs. That was the rule of the land back then. So these cities of refuge were absolutely needed. I would not want to be living back there, and if something accidentally happened like that and I didn't have an option and I had to be on the run for the rest of my life, these were set in place for those people. Now, obviously, there's the literal meaning of this that was needed for them then. But as of almost everything, well, everything in the Bible, it points to Christ. Especially in the Old Testament, so much of what the Old Testament shows us is just pictures of what Christ is going to come do for His people. So we go through this again. I'm going to read from Joshua 20. You don't have to turn if you want to, but I'm going to turn to Joshua. I can find it now. The cities of refuge are explained in multiple places in the Bible. It's also in Deuteronomy and then also in Joshua. I did not mark it, so just give me a second here. I'm going to find it. Here we go. The 20th chapter of Joshua. And we'll read through verse 7. It's a shorter version of what He already told us in Numbers. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed you through Moses, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of the blood." That was the closest family member of the person who was killed. "When he flees to one of these cities, he is to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state his case before the elders of that city. Then they are to admit him into the city and give him a place to live with them. If the avenger of blood pursues him, they must not surrender the one who is accused, because he killed his neighbor unintentionally and without malice or forethought. He is to stay in that city until he has stood trial before the assembly, or until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then he may go back to his home in the town from which he fled." So how are these many aspects of this story a symbolism for us to learn about Christ? First of all, who is the accused? the person that killed somebody. Pretty obvious, but just in case, that is anyone who has sinned. The accused, the guilty, the person that has a reason to flee and someone to flee from. That represents all of humanity. Every single person since Adam is a member of this group. The accused, the one fleeing. Who are they fleeing from? Well, according to the story, it's the avenger, who is the closest relative or blood family member to the person that was killed. But according to this, it's whoever was sinned against. Who is sinned against when we sin? I was studying this yesterday, and I came across some other people's ideas on how this story is a symbolism of Christ. And one guy kept pushing the idea that the avenger of the blood was Satan. Like, that's who we need to be fleeing from. When we sin, do we sin against Satan? No. Who is offended by our sinful actions? Who, when we do these sinful actions, are we spitting in the face of? I guarantee you it's not Satan. It's God Himself. So when they talk about the avenger of the blood in the story, they're talking about the Father. They're talking about God, because that's who is offended by sin. What was the sin? Well, in this story, it's murder. And it says unintentional. We'll get to that a little bit later. That seems like it doesn't fit, right? It does. Give me a few minutes. But the murderer really doesn't get any worse in humans' eyes as far as what kind of sin you can have. Now, to God, sin is sin. It doesn't matter to Him. Either way, you're cursing what He has taught us and what He's shown us and what He has put in us and what's right and wrong. But to us, there's levels of it. So they put in murder. Doesn't get much worse in our eyes. So with guilty, to the most guilty degree of the worst possible sin, all of us. There's no levels of it. There's no, this person really needs to get to the city of refuge a little faster than I do because what he did is a little bit worse than what I've done. Nope. 100% guilty in the eyes of God. We need to run to that city of refuge as fast as we can. Just like these people. Do you think they hung out? You think back in Israel, back in these days, if this happened and they accidentally killed somebody and they knew the minute that their avenger or their relative found out about it, they were going to be hunted. Literally. Do you think that they were like, well, I'm going to go home. I'm going to pack up. Maybe get a good night's sleep. Take off tomorrow around noon. They were beelining it to the city of refuge where they knew they were safe. They knew until they were there, they were not. And it was absolutely legal for them to be hunted and killed. No one was going to stop that for them. So there was no waiting around. It was urgent. It's urgent for us. So that's the sin. To whom was the sin against? We already covered this. Here it was the avenger of blood. To us, when we sin, there's only one person, for lack of a better word, that we can sin against. If I do something against my mom, because she's standing in front of me, the only person I could think of at the moment. If I do something that's not cool to her, that's sinful, sure, she's not going to enjoy that, but that sin is not to her. I'm not spurning her. I'm spurning who created the laws that I'm sinning against. Every sin is in the face of God. He is the avenger of those sins, and He has every right to hunt you down for them, just like this avenger of blood. Every right. He's not wrong in doing it. Just like this. The avenger had every right to hunt you down until he found you and take your life. And God has every right to punish us for our sin. Every right. There's nothing wrong about it. So what is this refuge from? Well, it's exactly the same, both literally back then and for us now. It's refuge from death. Now, the death is not the same. Back then, that guy just didn't want his body physically killed. To us, we are under spiritual sentence of death, which is much worse than this body dying. It's never ending. We can't pay for that. We're not good enough to ever pay for that. So our avenger is coming after our spiritual life. And unless we get to the city of refuge, we will have spiritual death. And it'll be right according to God's laws. It's not a good place to be. So there's obviously the mirrors in this are incredible. I mean, it is amazing. So then we go, okay, well, to whom does this apply? Who can flee to the refuge of the city of refuge? Who can go there if they find themselves in this position? Well, it specifically says in Numbers, these six towns will be a place of refuge for the Israelites, the aliens, and all who live there. There's no definition of who you are. There's no levels of community that you're in. There's no earthly reasons to keep you out of the city of refuge. It says it's open to everyone. So this isn't an Israel-Jew thing only. Gentiles were accepted as well. It says that. Everybody. Call them aliens. Anybody that was living there from anywhere is in Israel at that time. If that happens and they're in this situation where they're being chased down and hunted by the Avenger of Blood, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter who you, how you live, where you're from, it doesn't matter. No earthly reason can keep you out of the city of refuge. That's the same for us. No one in this world is excluded from the grace of Christ. Not according to what we've done, where we're from, where we live, what tribe we're part of. There is no exclusion. Are they hard to find? This is very specific in the Bible. Every time they talk about it, Joshua, Deuteronomy, Numbers, every single time they talk about how these need to be spread out evenly through Israel and they need to be easy to get to. That is not by accident. What song were we just... Oh, Pass Me Not. It's a perfect example of that. It's as easy as saying those words. It's as easy as saying, Savior, Savior, pass me not. While looking upon others, don't pass me by. Save me. That is the equivalent of how easy it was for them back in those days to get to their city of refuge. There's a reason that God said, look, we need all six of these and we need them in areas that are super easy to get to, because that is a picture of how simple this is. It can't depend on us. It can't depend on these people back then. This guy's got 10 horses to pull, whatever, I don't know if they had horses, but you know what I mean. This guy has more ability to get to the city faster than this guy. That doesn't matter, because the city's just right there. Same here. If I need Christ, there's one way to Him. I say to Him, Lord, I need You. I have no other path. I have no other hope. It's that fast and that quick, and it has to be for us. Otherwise, we won't do it. It can't depend on us in any way. And it can't be something where someone can have an upper hand to get there. Because we're all level. We're all even. So that's why it's very specific about the location of these places. There is an easy path to the city of refuge. And that's something we should be extremely thankful for, because we have a tough time following the easy path. Imagine if it was hard. Imagine if there were hoops to jump through. None of us would do it. I mean, being realistic, none of us would do it. I probably wouldn't have the strength to. Is it hard to gain entrance once you're there? It says in Joshua, this is the part I did not mark, when they flee to one of these cities, they are to stand in the entrance of the city gate, state their case before the elders, and the elders are to admit them into the city. Just like that. They will not turn anyone away. Ever. It doesn't say, well, they got to state their case, and if the elders decide that their case is worthy enough, we'll let them in the city of refuge, maybe. If you're fleeing to the city of refuge, you don't have to worry about when you get there if you'll be allowed in. It specifically says that. You show up, you stand in the gates, and you say, let me in, and they will. It's exactly what I was talking about with Pass Me Not again. We already know the answer to the question. Do not pass me by. Okay. I won't. Same with these cities of refuge. The city of refuge. You come to Christ and you say, I'm in trouble and I have no way out. I need you. Let me in. And those gates open. He doesn't close those gates or leave them closed for anyone. It says that specifically in the rules back then, the elders are to admit the fugitive. Never will a fugitive be left outside to face the avenger of blood. Are the cities always safe? Is it a guaranteed place of safety? Back to Numbers 35:25. The assembly must protect the one accused. It says even if the avenger comes, they will not send the accused out. Ever. You are an absolute, perfect safety from the death you deserve when you are in the city of refuge. That makes sense? You're in absolutely no danger. You deserve danger. You deserve the death that's marching towards you with the avenger. But if you're in that city, you couldn't be safer. And that never ends. That never changes. So these rules of the city of refuge, like I said, were meant as literal instruction for Israel at the time. Which is why they specifically state that these cities were for accidental murderers. Numbers 35:16. This part confused me, to be honest, as I'm reading this. I'm going to read 35, starting in 16 through 21. This is, if a man strikes someone with an iron object so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer must be put to death. And it talks about a stone, same thing. If he kills someone on purpose, with malice in his heart and forethought, he's a murderer and must be put to death. It says the same thing about wood. And then it goes on to say that these cities of refuge are only for people that are accidental murderers. Do you feel a connection to an accidental sinner? I don't. So I thought, like, how does this part make sense? You know what? This was meant as literal instruction for man to follow. However many years ago this was. Because we as man cannot pardon the truly guilty. Someone had to pay if they were truly guilty. These literal cities of refuge cannot only help the possibly innocent, or can only help the possibly innocent. Think about that. We are not possibly innocent in any way. Because these rules were put in place for man to put into use, we can't forgive sin. We can't pardon someone's sin. We weren't sinned against. So these were literal for man to follow. God is so much greater than that. God, who delights in mercy, created a real city of refuge for the truly guilty. It is so different than these. For the worst of the worst, Jesus is the greatest city of refuge. It is not for those that are possibly innocent. Jesus is the city of refuge for the 100% guilty. He is not only the place of guaranteed safety. Jesus didn't come here to live in this place and suffer to the highest possible degree to save the possibly innocent. It says in 1 Timothy, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Doesn't get more black and white. If you are guilty, every woman and child that has ever lived is being hunted by the Avenger of Blood. Because we're all guilty to the 10th degree. And we deserve to be hunted by the Avenger of Blood, because we sinned against him. So just let that sink in for a second. Every person that has ever lived is being hunted by the Creator of all things because of the sins upon them. And they deserve it. And if they're given death, it's exactly what they deserve. But God, who delights in mercy, and if this isn't proof that he delights in mercy, I don't know what is. He set aside a city of refuge to give hope to his people. You have a close, easily accessible city of refuge that will guarantee your safety from the Avenger. It's as easy as asking. And your safety is guaranteed, just like it was back then. Now think about this. When you are in your city of refuge, when you are in Christ, and that Avenger shows up to your city to give you exactly what you deserve, your city of refuge doesn't just sit there and hold you close. Think about this. Your city of refuge goes out to meet the Avenger. And doesn't fight for you. He lets that Avenger kill him so that you won't be killed. He's not out there to battle on your behalf or to fight and win a battle for you. He meets the Avenger to die. That is the difference between the cities of old and our city. It's not just a place of safety. It's a place that actually paid your debt Our city is Christ. The safest place, but also the Lamb slain for you. We deserve the death that's coming. We can't still be guilty inside the city of refuge. We can't just go in there and the Avenger is standing out there and that penalty is never given. That is not how it works, because God doesn't get stopped. If God is the Avenger, He doesn't sit out there and go, well, all that sin happened, I guess nobody's going to get punished. He can't let you just be inside the perfect city of refuge still guilty. Sin must be dealt with. And our city, our Christ, knows that. He brings us in and doesn't just stand there holding us. He goes and meets our doom. We are being hunted by the Avenger of blood, and you're not anymore. The Avenger has been satisfied, and you didn't have anything to do with it. That's why it says in Numbers 35:28, the accused must stay in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. Does that, in a worldly way of looking at it, make any sense? Does it make sense? Like, if you were reading this back then, and you're like, well, so I have to stay in the city of refuge until the high priest dies, and then I'm innocent? It doesn't make any sense. Worldly. But man, in the picture of Christ, is that not perfect? He is our high priest. And it says this thousands of years before He was born. The accused must stay in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. Then they may return home. It's the gospel. And the death of the high priest has already happened. We are already free. We're just waiting to go home. It says in Hebrews 2:17, Jesus is our merciful and faithful high priest. What mercy is shown to us that there was a city of refuge. Not only a safe place to go, but a place that will give His own life so that we don't have to face what we deserve. His death has made us innocent. His death has made us free. We no longer have to stay in these boundaries. It's over. We are innocent. And we were not. We were as guilty as it gets. There is no more Avenger. We are no longer being hunted. He has been satisfied by our Lord. What He has done for us is something that I cannot put into words. But God has helped us understand it through so many things, so many parts of the Bible. These cities of refuge, the city of refuge, is such a beautiful picture. Never again can we be hunted. But this is for God's people. This is not for everyone. And if you haven't run to your city of refuge, run there now. Because the race is on. The sins have been committed and the next of kin has been notified. You are being hunted now. The race could end today. Run to your city of refuge as fast as you can. Run to Christ. ask to be saved. And he'll let you in with no questions asked. You'll be kept perfectly safe. And the death you deserve, the judgment coming your way, will be laid upon him. You'll be innocent and you'll be free. And if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being our city of refuge. For being our place to run to. Our cleft in the rock to hide in. And our sacrifice that took away all of the guilt we have and all of the death we deserve. And satisfied our avenger. That we are free and innocent because of your mercy and grace. And your power to do it. We thank you for these pictures, Lord. We pray that you'll remind us of them every day. We thank you for everything. We pray this in your name. Amen.